Good evening, everybody. Welcome to City Council meeting, Shore Acres Monday, excuse me, February 9, 2015, 7 p.m. First line of business is call with the order, roll call.
Nancy Snell, present.
Bill Moyer, here.
Bo Bunker, present.
Rick Mosley, present.
Richard Evans, present.
Mike Cleaver, present.
Next line of business, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on, 3.0, special presentations. On the 3.1, Southeast Texas Housing Finance Corporation, Billy Rubino. Mr. Rubino's got a presentation to speak to us about tonight. Rubino, please take the podium, sir. It's all yours.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming. Bring you up to speed just a little simple little portfolio I gave, if you are interested in one, I'd be happy to give you.
I'm good. I will.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Speed with the rest of us here. Sure, everybody knows what SEP is, but if you don't, Southeast Texas Home Financing is a nonprofit organization, and we are dealing with and make available to the public single-family housing and multifamily housing based on your living status and the affordable rent. Meaning, we have programs assigned and such that they'll base your rental based on your income, provided you meet all of the specifications that are out there for them, which are generally are very, very easy to come by. But our program started, this five-star started in September, but prior to that, we were brought to attention by Ron Williams that there was a need for a program to afford people that had the willingness and the ways to buy a home, but were short on the down payment money, or didn't have the down payment money. And if we're all aware of what's happened nationally, that's been one of the leading things in the nation with the National Realty Association. For those qualified buyers that were unable to buy a home was because they couldn't come up with the down payment money. They got the job, they got the income, they found a home they like, but because they couldn't meet the down payment, that's been one of the reasons and one of the biggest reasons that folks have not bought a home nationally. So that's been on our number. So Ron, of course, for years has looked at that, and finally, in 2012, probably the latter part of 2011, did lots of research and homework on the facts of what could we do in our area, here in Texas, to afford housing for those folks that the only reason they couldn't buy one is because they didn't have the down payment money or the closing cost money. So he developed these programs and refined it, went through several legal actions through our national organization to get authorization and present them with it, and they loved it and encouraged us or him to go on with it further. So he did that through the board, and for months at our meetings we discussed all of the different options and the things that were going to be available and not available and how we could make it easier. One of the obstacles was that mortgage companies always, they have a lot to do to put a house deal together or a home deal together in their packet. Home inspections and many, many other things along with credit checks and so on. And Ron figured if we could eliminate some of that and make it easier for the lenders to loan the money, and we would offer the grants to provide these people to get a home in three different aspects. We have, and as you'll see, we got 3%, 4%, and 5% grant money, and that's based on the interest rate that they choose themselves. They pick this. The majority of these folks that have already approved by our program and have been given the grant money already had looked into their background and the things that they had to do. Of course, we have an educational program that's required by that. That's one of the things that's required, is that they complete the home buyers educational program, which is phenomenal. It's done on the internet. It costs, I think, $100, and they have to pass it. If they miss a question, they just go back and review it until they do pass it. So nobody's going to fail. But we do know that when they leave it from their home and they understand that program, the whole thing,
that they're more educated on what's going to happen when they get to that closing booth and what's going to take place. And as soon as they're approved, meaning they meet all the qualifications with their income, and in this particular program in Harris County, the income level is about $77,000. The house purchase can be up to $250,000. There's not going to be too many in that rate because the dollars and cents for the amount of money they can make. You know, some of them do, some of them don't. But the majority of them choose, as you can see by that diagram in there, choose the 5% rate. That's the one they're looking at right there. Because it offers them more money going in. All right, they're going to pay a little bit more on the interest note, but it's going to give them the amount of money they need to do the closing. So based on the average amount that we have loaned, or from all of the loans that we've made, which is like right at 2,800 of them right now that have been done, and through December it was right at, well, it was $371 million in loan money. Grant money is right at $20 million. That have been awarded to these folks, the 2,792 through December. That's a pretty good undertaking. That's done a tremendous amount of good to a lot of folks that wanted to buy a home, and that was the only obstacle that they had, was to raise the money to get the down payment. So in our structure, the loan companies don't have to go through with having an inspector come and approve the house for the value. That's taken into consideration into these things. And the way they worked it, the people love it, the loans come to them. In fact, there's the lenders now. Last time I was here, I told you some was around 85 lenders. We're at almost 120 now. The lenders are coming out of the woodwork to get on the program because of the way it's managed all the way through and the ease of putting this together. And it's working. And it's continuing to work. So Ron Williams has done a phenomenal job to put this together. And this isn't only in our surrounding area for Seth here, for our area, Southeast Texas. It's for the whole state of Texas. There's only two little counties that are not involved, and they choose to not join because of their own whatever reasons. That was El Paso County and the one right next to it. So, but all of the other areas, we're there. And the sheet will show you, and I think I have enclosed one there. Let me see if I can. Do you have this one in your sheet?
Yeah.
Okay. It shows you all of the different counties, the cities, and so on.
Well, we have not this one.
You don't have that?
We've got the breakdown.
Okay, you got that? Okay.
All right.
I thought I had all of them in there for you guys. Okay, well, it shows there the Southeast Texas, the update through December of how many loan counts were done, and by each area, 456 in Harris County, and their amount of dollars that was loaned all the way through there. The totals now in this other sheet I got is $371 million. Do you have this sheet?
No.
Okay, write it down. $371 million for roughly 2,800 approved people. Families. That's a great deal. They've done a great job there. The loan count for December was 255. And another 35 million. And if you take that by the 5% that the biggest people are taking, or average it out, it's averaging it out a little over $6,000 per approved loan that these people are getting. That's great. Something that just eases them. My daughter just bought a house 3 or 4 months before this program started and had to get into her 401 and whatever else to get the money to buy the little house that she likes. That she loves. So with that intel, they've done a great job. And it's growing. It's continuing to go as fast as possible. We don't know where all the lenders are coming from. I mean, they're all super qualified people, banks, mortgage companies, or whatever. But through the grapevine, they see what's happening and the ease of putting this together and the tool it is to support these folks to be able to buy a home because they don't have the down payment money or the closing cost money.
that's available. Insofar as our multifamilies, well, we've got several of them working, and they're pretty much all filled up, 55 and older, and their rent is based on their income. It's not based on what the averages are for those people out there that do that. It's based on your income. Neil was just asking something about this school property. You want to know about that? We have looked into that. Seth has. Ron Williams has spoke to the superintendent from the McCord High School, Independent School District, and the answer he got immediately from them and his assistant is that it was not for sale. Now, recently, some other new things have come up that might change that, and Seth might be interested in maybe putting the package together because the utilities are there. Wouldn't take much to bring the property up to specs. So it would be a great opportunity for a multifamily housing for people that can afford just so many dollars. Affordable living. Now, if you've seen some of our others, I think you might get a little bit better idea on what kind of affordable multi-housing we have. And it's, in my interpretation, it's really nice luxury living for a minimum income for folks to do that. Beautiful patios on the outside, beautiful gardening work, countertops, granite, washers, dryers, grand piano in the lounge room, big TVs, gorgeous furnishings. And we've offered a lot to those folks that, you know, sometimes can't help themselves as much as they want to.
Has the school district suggested what their inhibitions are?
Other than the fact that they weren't interested. That's the two answers that we got. It was not for sale.
That's been addressed by another corporation recently. I just got word and they told them the same thing. If they're not interested, it was pretty point blank to it. So I don't know, so maybe somewhere down the road at LaPorte.
It would be wonderful, but mind you that, you know, Shore Raiders is involved in a certain portion of that project.
That is correct.
LaPorte is
about a third of
it. Yes, and LaPorte has the rest. So if that even was to come to fact and Seth was to take it over, I could assure you this. If it was approved based on their past and what I've seen them do and what they're willing to do and they're managing the amount of dollars and cents that they have to do, it would be a phenomenal thing. But the people here in this city would have to approve. We would have to get the council and the folks in the city of Shore Acres to approve. And in my interpretation, I think it would be a fabulous thing from what I've seen all the way down the line.
Thank you so much.
Any questions
from the council?
A question for you. If someone wanted to acquire or start the process,
mm-hmm.
where would they go? They go to Seth Five-Star?
There you go. Just call Seth and take the... Nell will automatically tell you. It's right on the Internet also. The whole thing's on the Internet. They'll just go there. How to apply, what to apply for, take the test, how to transfer the money. They do it all by Internet. If you use a credit card. It's simple, it's easy. In fact, through the history, since September, we have processed 4,200 registrations for the Home Buyers Education Program. Have you got it up there now?
Yeah, it's on the city website.
Yeah,
right, you got it. I know you do. Richard, thank you for that. That's beautiful. That's all it takes. And like I said, the educating of the realtors and lending institution is by our person. We have she does only that, Rhonda Fleming, does an absolute phenomenal job. She travels all over San Antonio, Corpus Christi, Dallas, and makes presentations. And like I said, they're coming out of the woodwork. So if you've got 120 right now lenders to do it, seems to me you would, you know.
Any other questions?
Has good credit, 630 or above, right? Take the examination, stay within the wage limitation, and you're in. Once the loan is approved, no payback is done. It's all over with. You don't owe nobody nothing.
Any questions from the audience? Mr. Vino, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome.
Moving on to aisle 3.2, community radio system, David Stahl.
He's doing an adjustment on his thermostat.
Good evening. Normally, Vina sends someone from Region 6
but we've been trying to negotiate with them since June of last year. And so rather than have Diane Herrera here doing this and making a formal presentation to the mayor, she FedExed to me so I could do it. And that represents a lot of work on the city's behalf. That's our community rating system plaque. We'll display that prominently. It says that the city of Shore Acres is in the program. And
okay, David.
It is dated May 1st of 2014, the plaque is. So we've been in the program now for almost a year. But I wanted to present that to the mayor. And there you go.
A lot of hard work on a lot of people's part.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That being said, move on to item 4.0, approval of minutes, 4.1, regular council meeting, January 26, 2015. If the council's had time to review the minutes, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. We have a second.
A second.
Thank you, Mr. Snell. Any questions from the council? All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Move on to 5.0, council reports request. It's 5.1, Mayor Moses report on many meetings attended. Had a couple of meetings set up for me, for myself to attend that was unable to attend last week. However, I did have a meeting with San Jack College. It was a phone meeting because I was actually out of town. There was a problem. I think we've got a solution, so I want to go over the problem first, then I'll give you the solution. That way the problem won't be any questions after I give that to understand what's going on. I won't mention any names. I don't think it's improper to do that. I'm just going to state it this time. We had a formal complaint with the San Jack College on their cement trucks coming in and dropping cement early in the morning throughout the day. The problem was it was quite early in the morning, getting everybody's attention. However, we do not have a noise limit set in the city of Shore Acres, nor does Pasadena. There was nothing legally we could do. However, with that being said, I talked to San Jack. We had a discussion over this, went over it with the builder, the contractor, and everything, and we figured the solution out, what we're going to do, because it was an understandable problem. Basically, it was quite loud, my understanding. I wasn't here, but at the time, they want to be good neighbors, and they stressed that very hard. So what we're going to do is every month, before they do any major projects or if anything comes up, the solution to this is they're going to notify me via email along with the city administrator. They're going to give us ample time, anywhere from 72 hours, if not more, to alert our citizens via the blackboard in any other way. If we ever get our electronic sign working properly where we can actually put announcements on it, we're still working on that. It'll be posted on that. This is what's going to happen. So this way, at least it's on the blackboard that we can basically have some type of notification whether they're going to be bringing trucks in. The issue was is they had cement they were pouring, and they had to start at 4 in the morning. If they didn't, it was going to dry up. So they ran trucks all day long is what I was being told. So I did ask them, and the assistant chancellor who I spoke with also was very gracious and said they'll do whatever they can to make things work for us. So we figured that would be about the best solution, so we're going to have ample time to let our citizens know. So I just that was really the only meeting that I attended via phone conversation. I'm hoping that this is going to work. However, if it's, you know, we have issues, please call the city administrator or myself. Let us know. We'll address the issues immediately as quick as we can in ample time. With that being said, I'll move on to 6.0, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion, deliberation of items identified on this agenda. With that being said, do we have anyone in the audience who would like to address? Please come up to the podium, sir, or state your name and your address.
Hey, my name is Oscar Perez. I'm from actually I'm from Bankhouse, Texas. I've been living in Atlanta, Georgia for the past 28 years. My mom has taken care of us like by herself for, you know, 28 years, 30, 40 years, anyway you look at it. We're trying to build a house over here on 630 Shore Acres. We bought a property. We've been looking at to be in around here and trying to get with the city to try to find out what we need to do, and we have not really had no response. You know, my mom's getting a little bit older in age, and, you know, the four brothers of us want to get together and build our house. And it's just a block over, 630 Shore Acres, and our paperwork has been there, and we are trying to do whatever we can to do what we can do. I do drywall for a living. My brothers do drywall for a living. We, you know, I got one brother that is a home builder in Georgia. And, you know, we just want, you know, it's just, the process has been going on for 2.5 months or so. And we're just trying to build a house for my mom, you know, to make sure the last years of her life are pleasant. And we picked this area because we felt it was a proper area because of the enforcement around here, and we felt it was a good spot for her. Cause, like, I work out of town all the time. I go from Georgia, I go from San Antonio, Austin, Houston, you know, I'm here, you know. Like I said, I've been out there for a long time, and, you know, we just wanted to make sure my mom's was in a safe place, and we felt this was the best place for her, so we bought a property at 630 Sea Road, which is a block over, and, you know, we're just trying to find out, you know, seeing how or what we need to do to make things right, so, you know, that we can be productive citizens in this community, because this is a part of the community that we picked because of we felt safe for her, because she's 73, 74 going on, and we really felt safe for the community. The community would, like, if we went out of town to work, you know, which we do, and we would be safe, being that's just right around the corner from right around here, and, you know, we're just trying to figure out what we need to do or how or what we can do to make the process a little bit easier and to start commencing building. You know, we want to take care of it before it's too late. And, that's pretty much what we came here for. We from Baytown. We lived in Atlanta for a while, and, you know, we do construction work. That's what we've done for a living. That's what we've always done. And we're going to build an house down the house, and we will be at standard citizens. And we just, you know, want to know what we can do or how we can make this process a little bit easier for us, because that's my brother's name is Stevens. And he came up from Georgia because he's going to oversee all the plan work. And they go from there. I work for this company right here. It's called Drake Interiors. And I do drywall and paint and frame. I do all this for a living. I've done it, you know, for 25, 30 years going on. And we just want to show our faces and, you know, try to make friends with the community, because, you know, we want to be a part of the community. And so, you know, therefore, that's pretty much what we're here for. And believe me, the community would like us, because they ain't nothing we can't fix. And I was amongst that. No, and literally, they ain't nothing we can't fix. And I know the hurricane hit bad a while back, and the neighbors around the area were telling me, oh, my God, we couldn't find nobody to fix this and fix that. You know what? Ain't nothing can't be fixed. And I'd rather fix the community first. To fix anything else. This is where we live at, and we want to live in a good community in a good area. It's pretty much going to be my mom and probably me and my mother, brothers live, you know. We just want to do the right thing and want to be a part of the community. And, you know, whatever money we bring to the surrounding areas, you know, fine. You know what? You know, everybody got to go to the store. Everybody's got to eat. Everybody's got to do this or that. You know, we just want to know what we need to do. We're just asking for help, is pretty much. Because, like I said, been since December, and, you know, we understand that there's a protocol and everything, but what we'd like to do is, if you guys can help us move the situation along, if something's wrong, hey, let's correct it. We want to go by the book all the way along.
Okay. All right, I'm going to stop you there. I will tell you we cannot speak with you about this right now, because this is the time for you to speak. However, if you'll wait for the council meeting to be over with, I'll be happy to talk to you and direct you in the right direction.
That sounds great.
Thank you.
I would love that. Appreciate it, Mr. Wilson.
Anybody else would like to speak?
I have a point of order for clarification, Ms. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it Seagrove or Shortacres Boulevard?
At Seagrove, at 630 Seagrove.
Okay.
It's a block, it's just one block that way and then a block to the corner.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mayor.
Anybody else? Okay, we're going to move on to item 7.0, Administrator Report. 7.1, City Administrator David Stahl, General Activity Report.
Good evening. I've got several items for you this evening. Attended a pipeline emergency response and damage prevention training last week, and today I was granted access to the pipeline integrity management mapping application with the Pipeline Hazards and Trails and Safety Administration of the Department of Transportation. This will allow us to look at the flammable liquid and gas pipelines that pose potential risks to the city of Short Acres, and will assist with planning responses to those. Today we completed filling the position of the sewer department. We have hired Mr. Guadalupe Quintero, who will start tomorrow. He holds current water and wastewater licenses, and is also a backhoe operator and a welder. So we have a very well qualified person that will hit the ground running tomorrow. Last meeting I told you that the Harris County had filed a tax lien suit against 902 North Country Club that apparently has motivated the owner to liquidate the property in advance of the of that court action. I've been contacted by at least two different individuals who have been putting offers in with the property owner in an attempt to purchase that ahead of the tax lien foreclosure sale, and that would be advantageous to everybody. And one of them even requested a demolition permit. So we're on the right track. Either she'll sell it voluntarily now. It's a different name than what we had as who we thought was going to end up owning it as in terms of the estate. So it's a new player and looks motivated, and hopefully that will happen and we can get that demolished and something nice built there and put on the tax rolls. I received a letter today from the Texas Comptroller's Office informing us of some bad news. They tell us that they have overpaid us $10,469.57 in sales tax. Because of the privacy aspects of that, they won't tell you who is on the other end of that in terms of the business that misdirected its filings to pay taxes in Short Acres. But they will need to have their $10,469.57 back. If we pay that in a check in one lump sum, we can take a 2% discount. And no matter how we handle it, that would be the best approach and save us another couple hundred dollars in the process. As I look back over the last couple of years, we had budgeted $67,000 in revenue this year, $52,000 last year, and $50,000 in 2012. We came in high, and you may recall at the end of last year and the end of this year, at the end of last year I was remarking how much excess revenue we were getting from sales tax, and again, they won't tell you where that's coming from, so it was mystery money. Well, it's no mystery now. It wasn't ours. I also commented in the last quarter that our sales tax was down by comparison to the trend. Well, that's why. The good news, if there's any good news in there, is that when we did the budgeting, our actuals coming into this year were 61.5 and 78.6. And I knew that was too high. So we only budgeted revenue of $67,000 this year. And projecting with that reduced out, it looks like we're going to be on track for about $68,000 in revenue this year. So we won't come up short on the revenue, although we have the $10,000 to pay back. We are going to ask the Comptroller's Office to identify what months or quarters that overpayment occurred in. I suspect it's in the last fiscal year, and if so, we'll book it on last year's budget, and it won't leave a hole in this year's budget. Bottom line, it's all the same bucket, but from an accounting perspective, it won't skew our numbers this year. If it does hit this year, it's a double whammy because our revenue will be reduced going forward, and we have the debt to pay back. So that's two deductions out of that line item. The shortfall, potentially, if it all came this year, would be about $8,891. I have good news. HUD and the GLO have come to an agreement that in our community development block grant funding, that the excess round one money that was unexpended, which we had a small amount, that was a very small amount, that our round one was all of our big street projects. And when you're doing street projects, it's hard to make everything come out to the dollar. And so you end up leaving a little bit on the table. Now, we did about $2.1 million in streets, and we only left $5,380 on the table. But we now are able to transfer that money in this new agreement to the round 2.2 projects, which is this 8-inch water main that we ran from the water plant to down Sunrise to Oakdale. When we did that project, if you recall, that it came in above what the grant amount was, and we were going to suck up the difference. We'll now be able to take this $5,380 and apply it to that, and it will reduce the amount that the city has to pay on the round 2.2 project. So that's a little found money that'll help relieve some of the pain. Our project engineer on the round one water and wastewater project has drafted a demand letter to R&B Group. They are the contractor that did our water and our wastewater facilities. We finished off on the wastewater, but the water plant, we did the final walkthrough a year ago, the March last year, which they had a punch list, and it's been dragging out now for a year. So this demand letter is gives them 30 days to complete the project, or we'll proceed against a performance bond, and we'll find another contractor to finish the job, and we'll take it out of the performance bond and the money that we have of theirs. We have about $92,000 we're withholding final payment to complete that work. It has a ripple effect because it is the communications, the wide area network radio system that is between City Hall and all the facilities that now is also the roadblock on the gateway sign. Under our sign contract, they made the conversion to operate on our SCADA system, but R&B, his subcontractor, has not finished the radio link to make it reliable, so we do not have communications with lift station number 2 or with the gateway sign. And so, push comes to shove, R&B will either finish that or we'll hire someone to finish and take out R&B's funds. That letter was drafted last week. It was approved by the city attorney on Friday, and approval to send that was given today. So when I have a copy of that, I can share with you what the dead timing on that is. Tomorrow, Ray Dodd from Public Works will start attending an animal control officer school in Giddings. And we're looking forward to having him have that training. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that our Employee and Citizen of the Year nominations will open, and there'll be a notice in the utility bill that will go out this week. And the deadline for making those nominations from council and the public is March 16th. And we'll be on track for our historical dates of doing that presentation at an April City Council meeting. And that's the City Administrator's report.
Thank you, David. Moving on to item 7.2, monthly police reports. Chief Harris. Good to see you, Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. My apologies for missing 2 weeks ago. I was receiving instruction on how to be a chief in Huntsville at Sam Houston State. And there was good information provided. Sure makes me proud to be from Shore Acres when I hear some of our other people's problems, because we don't have them. We really don't. You have a list of calls we had last month. It looks a little different and varies a little from what you've been seeing in the past. The reason is I normally get about 5 reports from a report that I have to put together in order to get all the numbers together to give to you guys. This is a new report that I've asked them for that combines everything into one, and this is literally the front page of that. And it doesn't just give you the highlights of what we do, it actually gives you every call. And I know it's a lot of information, but you are council and mayor, and I think that you'll like seeing what we do on a daily basis. There's a few things I always talk about I talk about several of these things, but the ones that are high numbers, the assist for law enforcement. We check out at LaPorte Jail or LaPorte Dispatch a lot to pick up paperwork or things like that, and it just gets put into a computer in dispatch, and that's the category it goes into, and that's why that number's so high. If I go over there to pick up some jail records, that's what they check us out under. If you look down to lost, missing, recovered, abducted, we did not have 5 abductions last month. I'm proud to report we had 1 kid that ran away 5 times. So that's good news. We found them every time. He'll get better. He'll be 18 sooner or later. Traffic hazardous. We had 9 of those. I want to tell you guys something about how dangerous that is. That's calls that we get to go out on 146 and pick up debris during the day. Out of everything I do on a daily basis, that's the one that scares me the most, because most of the time we only have 1 officer on duty. And when you go up there and try to control traffic and pick up a truck tire or a piece of metal or a recliner or a bed or a refrigerator or whatever it may be, nobody slows down for you. These 9 calls right here represent probably the greatest threat we see day to day, in all honesty. When we can, we have Seabrook and LaFort come and stop traffic for us so that we can safely remove that stuff.
Does TxDOT have any accountability in this area?
Absolutely, but you know what? We'd rather go out and get it picked up where somebody gets hurt. It'll take, I don't know how long for them to get there. We get out there and take care of it. Most of the time, we don't even notify them, unless it's a long stretch of debris that's going to take a sweeper or something. And then we'll certainly go out and wait for them to come. But that is the report for me. We just don't have a lot that goes on in our city, and that's a good thing.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Good job. Yeah, I have 7.3 by the Muscle Public Works report. Mr. England and Mr. Shaw, will you?
Yeah, in your packet of 4 pages of report from Public Works, you see that we had 5 water leaks, 1 main, and 4 service connections that were worked on over the month. That's a pretty low number. Like, keep it low like that. You see that with sign replacements, we did a complete audit of all of the emergency notification signs that we have, phone numbers, and we updated them with the new Public Works dispatch number through LaPorte and the new LaPorte Police Department number. We found some rather obscure signs that still had the old Lakeview dispatch, so we took the opportunity to clean those signs up. Here you can see that just after the last council meeting, we posted the position and began interviewing, and I've already reported this evening we filled that position. And we have a number of new fire hydrants all the way from Forest and West Country Club and South Country Club and Center all the way out to Oakdale and Brookside that have new hydrants that are red and unpainted, and they'll be painted silver, and the bonnets will be painted with the color code to indicate their new flow. We also have a number of hydrants that with the installation of the new water main have changed and will be upgraded and will go from red to orange or green, which is an indication of the fire department of how much water they can get out of them. And as you reported before, there's a lot of substantial increase. A new thing that we have attached here is, if you're interested in where unmetered water is at, is a report. This is a running report on where some of those leaks occurred and the estimate of how much water based on the size of the line, the size of the leak, the hole. Some of those with the largest, you'll see, were out of the sound wall. There are some that were in a line, which is not one of our known lines. It was put for a subdivision that was platted and never built. And AC lines that were hit by the contractor who didn't know whose line it was and ran for an awful long time. You see that we lost 1.2 million gallons of water on one of those 8-inch lines that ran for a month. Those are outliers. We shouldn't see any large ones like that from other things now. We do have exposure when they start drilling for the sound wall south of Short Hills Boulevard. They may hit some lines, but I think everybody's now on board with knowing whose line it would be and who to get a hold of to get it repaired. And then on the back is our monthly flushing report. We do flush our hydrants, water lines, particularly where we have dead-end lines, keep the water moving, keep the residual chlorine levels up. In the past, we didn't keep any records on how much water was used for that. Our software allows that to be plugged in every month to account for that water. And so now they're preparing this monthly report, and it is put into the utility software, so that when we get a monthly manager's report out of that software, it will include the flushing water. And that is a full work report.
The onus of water leaks?
Yes, sir.
Accountability, like on the town wall, losing that very close that we lost. Reimbursement, are we going to get any reimbursement for that?
No, sir.
Not at all.
They, on our utilities, they asked us to mark them. There were lines that we didn't know existed. And so we didn't mark them, and they hit them, and they didn't know whose they were. And by the time it all got sorted out, it was our line. If we didn't mark it, then it's on us. And if we went out there and marked it, and then they hit it, then it would be different. The cost of that, however, is very small. I mean, we're talking about 60 cents per 1,000 gallons. So, you know, that being 1.2 million gallons would be $600. And that's extraordinarily large. Most of these are, you know, you're talking about $20, $30 for what you would consider a big leak.
Thank you, David. Council, any questions?
I have a question that kind of a caveat to that, being that it wasn't marked that we eat it. Has something changed to where you know, you said when we mark it and they break it, are we now into a you break it, you buy it? I know that has not been the process in the last few years with the contractors thus in line. Have we changed the way we are writing our contracts with that, or?
No, there's a clarification there that what you're talking about is the contract work that was done with the streets?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we elected not to do underground locates because it was more expensive to locate unknown water lines than the cost of the repairs. So we took what was the most cost effective to us.
Okay.
That was our decision.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. All right. Moving on to item 8.0, business. We'll go down to 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices. If council's had time to look over the invoices, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. We have a second.
A second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonker. Any questions from council on the invoices? Not appearing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. All right. We'll go on to item 8.2. Consideration action to adopt resolution number 2015-140. Nominating a representative to the Southeast Texas Housing Finance Corporation, SEF, Board of Directors for a 2-year term ending April 30th, 2017. Now, in the past, we had Mr. Jovino basically doing this. He's done a fantastic job, and I'd very much like to see the council recommend him, if they would. My personal recommendation would be that, but this is a council deal, so I'll have to have one of the councils really make the nomination. With that being said, it's in the council's hands.
I'll make the motion to reappoint Mr. Jovino.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. That being said, all those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Okay. Congratulations,
you
sir.
You good with that?
We never did ask the question, did you want
to do that? I wasn't going to give you that opportunity.
Well, thank you for doing it. I'd love to continue because we got some really exciting things we're working on.
You can see the fire in your eyes when you're talking about
it. It takes time. And if we were to ever, Neil, get that property, if that ever did mature,
yes,
and the board approved it, the city approved it, I can assure you, it would be a thing of beauty to look at and to care for because I know what the best what they've done.
Well, thank you again, sir, for your service to the city of Shore.
Appreciate it.
Moving on to item 8.3, consideration approval resolution number 2015-141, approving an investment policy pursuit to the Public Funds Investment Act and other related provisions. Mr. Stahl.
Yes, the city is required to comply with the Public Funds Investment Act. And we adopted a policy in 2005 that, and annually we were required to review that and to readopt it. And that is what this document does here, is it readopts the policy that we currently have.
That being said, I'll entertain a motion from the council.
I make a motion. to adopt resolution 2015-14.
Thank you, Ms. Schnell. Do I have a second?
I second.
I'm sorry, I just misspoke. I'm sorry, 2015-141.
Thank you, ma'am.
Same motion.
Yes, ma'am. Motion, second. The second being made. Any questions from the council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Passed. Moving on to item 8.4, consideration approval of resolution number 2015-142, appointing presiding judge and alternate judges from the municipal court of the city of Shore Acres for a term of 2 years. If you look at the package, this is the same judges that have to, this has to happen each couple of years around. That would be the presiding judge would be John L. Lay, J. And then also Denise Matrano and John Morgan.
I did leave a new copy. It's James L. J.
Oh, I'm sorry, James.
That was incorrect.
Okay. So corrections, James L. J. would be the resident judge for the city. With that being said, I entertain a motion for item number 2015-142.
Make a motion we adopt resolution 2015-142.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Do I have a second?
I second.
Mr. Moyer, thank you. Any questions for the council?
I assume both folks are good with this, okay? There's good as well.
Yes, ma'am. That's
Jay,
okay.
Yes, ma'am.
That has gone through the city minister. Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank
all
you.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.5, consideration action to adopt ordinance number 2015-176, approving an interlocal agreement renewal with the city of La Porte to provide the city Shore Acres with fire protection and service the fire department. Mr. Stahl.
Yes, we, right after the budget process, La Porte came to us for renewal of our contract and proposed raising the rates. We had budgeted what it had been for the last couple of years, which was $118,000, $118,015, and La Porte came back to us with an increase of a little more than 13%. So we went from $9,800 a month to $11,126 a month. That's a $1,292 a month increase. Under the new contract, we pay about $210 a year per household for the services or fire suppression services. So we go from $118,000 to $133,522, an increase of $15,506 a year. That said, we did spring that along and attempt to negotiate a price down, which did not happen. Looked at other alternatives, and we are through February at the old rate. And so we will, even though it's a 15.5 increase, we will not see that all in this budget because we'll have 5 months at the old rate and 7 months at the new rate. So our net impact to this budget is $9,045, which we can absorb in the general fund administrative department budget. So this on the agenda tonight is the new agreement at the new rates. All the other terms and conditions are the same, except we're hedging ourselves against this for a little bit better in that this is a five-year agreement now. So we're locking in at this for 5 years. So we won't be looking for another hit for quite a while down the road. And I think that's probably about the best we could do. In the long run, it's probably better to have got a five-year term instead of a little lower rate for a two-year term.
Well, thank you, Mr. Starr. This was something that we had discussed. We did try to have a couple meetings with Chief Ladd, but City of La Porte was not willing to do any negotiating at all. And there's not a lot of game in town. So with that being said, I'll entertain a motion on 2015-176.
I'll move that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Moore, and a second.
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Bunker. Any questions?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
What is the reason for the increase? They have a formula driven off of population and the cost of running their department, and they've increased their spending on fire, and that increased our portion. the way they do the accounting on their contract services is different than I've seen anywhere else. They don't take the total cost and divide it up by them together with their customers. They take the total cost and divide it up by their own population, and that then creates the index, and that's what they charge. So if they could find enough customers, they would end up not paying anything for fire protection. All their customers would pay 100%. So it's not a, everybody shares the pain. It's whatever their cost is then gets defrayed to us. That was the same thing with the medical, and that's why the medical went up so much. When they added a new station with an ambulance and full crew, then we saw a huge increase in what it cost us.
Thank you, Dave.
So we're subsidizing their,
yes, sir,
their citizens.
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
I just have a question. Under Section 4 of this agreement, where it states that either party can cancel by giving 60 days written notice to the other party. Let's just say that something miraculous happens and we found a better game in town. Does that mean that we can go
60-day notice?
60 days, see you later, and we'll save our money?
Correct.
That also means they can do the same thing to us?
That is correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's clear on that for the record.
Yeah, and that is, my perspective on that is entirely in our advantage and not theirs.
Right.
Because they're in essence depending on our revenue.
Right.
Yeah, in their budget.
Their budget. That would be for advantageous
right.
for them.
But it does leave us the opportunity that should we...
You never know.
Should we find something else?
I mean...
Yeah.
Might have a billionaire move to town.
You never
know. There's a motion on the floor. Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? The ayes have it. Motion's passed. Moving on to item 9.0. Adjourn the meeting at 7:51.